lecture given by His Holiness Bhaktivika Swami, recorded on 20th December 1995 in Madras, Tamil Nadu.
Om Agyanati Migandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
So, this evening we'll speak about the purpose of human life. Probably we've all heard that this human life is attained after traveling through 84 lakh species of life. You've all heard this before, yeah? Everyone. Well, either this or this. But everyone knows. We know what we don't know. Because if we actually considered what this means, we would be so serious to perfect our lives. Just consider what it means to travel through 84 lakh species of life. That means sometimes we have been Brahma, sometimes the worm crawling on the ground. There are many worms, many different types of worms. There are worms also inside our bodies, sometimes you see. Worms, germs, trees which are standing for hundreds and thousands of years. About 2 years ago, that one banyan tree in Howrah, in Calcutta Botanical Gardens, that blew down. That was some hundreds of years old. So consider, this is not a very good situation to stand for hundreds of years. It is not a very good situation to be a worm in stool. You see, the worm in the stool, he is very much liking the situation in the stool. Yes, completely satisfied. If you take him out of the stool, he'll go back. Why have you taken me out? So our situation is like that even now. We are thinking, I'm very satisfied with home, family, all these different things. But it is all simply suffering. Real life is meant to be Satchit Anandamaya, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Real happiness means to be with Krishna. You see, Radha Krishna in the spiritual world. Now, because we are in this material existence, it is very difficult for us to understand the real happiness of Radha Krishna. We are taking this duplicate, false happiness of this material world to be all in all. Just like in the modern age, in the cinema, we have dancing. And disco dancing. So we are thinking that maybe Radha Krishna dancing is something like that. But there is a lot of difference. Just like between gold and iron, there is a lot of difference. That dancing in the material world ultimately ends in frustration. All our endeavors for happiness, they simply end in frustration. Virakti, you're saying? Frustration. We are trying for happiness, but ultimately we have to die. We have to leave this body. And we get another body and we struggle for happiness. But we don't get happiness. What we get, what we call happiness, is only negation of distress. Just like in the hot season, if you go in an air-conditioned room, you think, oh, very nice. Or in the cold season, if you can take a warm bath, you think, very nice. Or when we're hungry, we get something to eat, we take this as happiness. So what is called happiness in this material world is actually simply negation of distress. It is not anything positive. But the real standard of happiness is something in a completely different dimension. Just like those who have studied science, they know that Einstein was talking about different dimensions. And philosophers of this material world, they have understood that we are perceiving the universe in four dimensions. Length, breadth, depth, and time. Three dimensions of space plus time. But Einstein also postulated that there may be many, many other dimensions of existence. So actually this is described in the Vedic literature, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is another stage of existence that is beyond this material world. Everything in this material world is created and destroyed again and again. Just like you see in a big city like Madras, they're very busy to build roads, going this way, going up, going down, so many different roads. But in course of time, it will all be finished. The politicians are fighting who can control the by election. Any new building is built and within one day there'll be paint. Full wall, DMK. They want to control. This wall is our wall. Just like the building is built, after some time it will be fallen down again. Smashed. The whole Madras city will be gone. There will be no Madras in course of time. There will be no earth planet in course of time. Everything in this world and this world is temporary. But there is another nature which is eternal. Parastasmat ubhavamya vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. There is the eternal nature. That is described in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That world which mundane philosophers can just get a hint of, just they can imagine there may be such a thing, is fully described in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the real world. Anything which is temporary cannot be considered to have real substance. Now, let us consider everybody has to die. Just you attending the shlok. What is the shlok? Who can say? Now see it. Everyone who is born must die. So is this very nice? If we say to people, they'll say, yes, but that's natural. So if it's so natural, why don't you die now? We'll bring a gun and shoot you now. We'll bring a gun, shoot you now. You're doing so many scientific things to assist nature. You have so many drugs and so many motor cars, all for assisting things we can do normally, so you can also assist death by shooting yourself. No, nobody wants to die. If it's so natural, then why are we afraid of death? The fact is that death is not natural. Because we are living spiritual souls whose real nature is eternal, therefore we don't like to die. Because our nature is eternal spirit souls, we don't like to die. But again and again we are dying. Everyone, I think, in South India, they know the shlok. Punarapi janana, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jantare shayana. This is not good. So, in a human life, we should consider, is that we should think about these things. We should consider, am I meant simply to struggle for some time and die, or am I meant for something else? So, Krishna comes, he speaks Bhagavad Gita to teach us, yes, we are meant for something else. We are meant for a much better existence than being born and dying again and again. In human life, we have more intelligence. So that intelligence should be used for what? For examining these questions. Who am I? What is the purpose of life? Especially birth in Bharatavarsha is meant for understanding these points. Generally, it's understood that those who are born in Bharatavarsha, they had some pious activities in previous life, and we're glad they had some Sukriti in previous lives, because very few of them have any Sukriti in this life. Before, India was known as Punya Bhumi, but now they want to be modern. Now they're very determined how we shall make this Papa Bhumi. Why should the Americans do all the pap? We can be as good as the Americans. Mera Bharat Mahan hai. Pap me Mahan hai. This. But actually Bharatavarsha is not meant for this. It's meant for understanding who is God, what is our relationship for Him, and going back to Godhead. At least that culture has been there up to the present time. Culture means Sanskriti. We don't have all these words around.
We don't use Sanskriti.
Dravidian. We are different. That culture that is being represented in the modern age by the Sankirtan movement of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in the modern age, in Kali Yuga, to execute all the rules and regulations of the scriptures is very difficult. Just like previously, many yogis, they used to perform severe austerities. Nowadays, no one can do. If we tell people that in our Hare Krishna movement, we don't drink coffee, they'll say, oh, your Hare Krishna movement is very good. You please remain very good, and I'll go on drinking coffee. No one can dream how you can live without coffee. I think it's very extreme, more fanatical than LTTE. Very. My son may join LTTE, but he should never join the Hare Krishna movement. Wait a minute, we should be careful what we say. Maybe it's an LTTE. At least you can get coffee in LTTE. So people are so much fallen that they cannot imagine how to live by even simple sadhacha. So therefore we don't recommend severe austerities. Tivra?
Vidika Padavilek in the Kalpa.
It's completely different.
Yes, ma'am.
We have some minor austerities, not major austerities, such as not drinking coffee, not watching TV. Very, very severe. So people may say, how is it possible? How can you live? People say to us, this is unnatural. I've heard people say it's unnatural. It's not normal. They say it's not normal. As if people were living for hundreds and thousands of years without TV, without coffee. Somehow they survive, but nowadays Unless you watch TV, you're not a normal human being. So how can we give these things up, these vital factors of modern life? Actually, we don't ask people to give these things up. We simply ask them to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And study the books about Krishna and develop their love for Krishna. And naturally, a feeling arises within a person who does that. This happened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he is in the lila of being a devotee. So in his childhood, in his youth, he was just like a big scholar, not exactly like a devotee. He was known as Nimai Pandit. And he used to enjoy meeting people and discussing with them and defeating all their theories. And when he defeated all their theories, he would take his own theory and defeat that also, just to crush people into the dust, make them into churna. That means that the theory he defeated them with, that was also wrong, he was showing. So when he met his guru, his life changed. So he was playing the leela of a very proud scholar. So his guru told him, "My dear Nimai Pandit, you're simply a fool. Murka tumi tomar nahik vedanta dika Krishna mantra japa shada e mantra shai." He told him, because usually people in those days, they'd take initiation from a guru, then they would study Vedanta Sutra. So his guru told him, "Actually, you can't study Vedanta Sutra. You're not intelligent enough. You just chant Hare Krishna." Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra. He is the object of the Vedanta Sutra. But this is just some leela to show what is our position. He told him, "A mantra sa," this Hare Krishna mantra is the essence of all the Vedas. Krishna mantra hoite hobe shamsham ho chan Krishna naam hoite pabe Krishna charan. He said that just by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, you will get free from material life and you will attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a very good disciple. So he started chanting Hare Krishna sada, day, night, all the time. Then after some time he came back to his guru, he had a little doubt. Kiva mantra dilo goshai kiva thangal japite japite mantra ami hoilam thagal. He said that, "What kind of a mantra have you given me? What is the effect? By chanting and chanting this, I've become mad." So his guru told him, "Very good. Hare Krishna maha mantra eto shabhav je jape tare Krishna upajai bhav." He said, "It's the very nature of one who chants Hare Krishna that his feeling for Krishna develops." So same thing, we ask people, "Please chant Hare Krishna." And automatically you will get a feeling for Krishna. Are you experiencing something like that? See, everything in this material world, what is there? Everything, everyone is advertising, all the wonderful things you can do. It's Nanda Kumar's tunnel class. Sorry. Just like every time I come to Madras by night train, then we drive up Mountain Road, and that's where we come, past the American Embassy early in the morning, before you come, it's the American consulate. So there's always big crowd there. Everyone is thinking, America is better than Madras. Let me go to America. There's one famous song, "Everything's Great in America." So people are thinking, "Let me go to America. Or if I can't get to America, at least England. If I can't get to England, at least the Gulf. Or at least I'll stay here and become a minister." Everyone's dreaming, "I will be happy in America." Actually, you don't have to go to America. America already came here. Everything. You can get all the wonderful amenities of American life, like McDonald's hamburgers, right here in India. And Levi jeans.
I can translate that.
It's in Tamil, I can say. You know how to say? Say, "Levi jeans." That's how you say it. So you can get all these things here. You save up for 3 months and you spend all your money and you can have family legend. So it won't make you happy. There is not one single case in history of people wearing Levi jeans and all of a sudden they feel all their anxieties are gone away and everything is wonderful. That's only in the advertisement. That if you buy this soap powder, then you'll feel very happy. And the lady living next door will look at you and see that your children's cloth is more white and she'll be envious. So happiness is in the advertisements only. All very shallow, hollow. Kritrim. False, cheating. Anyone with a little intelligence can understand this. that real happiness means more than getting money and increasing your prestige by wearing Levi jeans. And even if you could become happy by all these things, anyway you have to die. You have to leave all these things behind. You may be Aditya Birla, the next day you are a pile of ashes, that's all. So one should be intelligent and consider these things. And if you take to chanting Hare Krishna, then you can actually experience a different kind of happiness that is nothing to do with the space and time of this material world. It's got nothing to do with the body or the mind. This is directly to do with the soul. And this is our real happiness. What is the highest happiness? The highest happiness is, mother should know this, is love. So love means selflessly giving oneself to another. Love in this material world is always incomplete and frustrated. We can never find a person who can fully reciprocate our desires for love. And even if we feel very happy in a relationship in this material world, that will be broken by time. Krishna consciousness means the real love for which we are always hankering life after life. Just like we were talking about the worm in stool. Why is the worm attracted to the stool? Because he feels that my happiness is in relationship with the stool. So he is searching for happiness, but he's mistaken. He's searching for it in the wrong way. That attraction should be reposed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Because that relationship with Krishna is complete and eternal. That feeling of love will be fully reciprocated by Krishna in a way that can never be done in any material relationship. And that relationship is everlasting. It is not spoiled when the body is spoiled. So that is why when we chant Hare Krishna, because that is our real life, that is our real relationship, when we start to do that, then everything in this material world, we can see that it has no intrinsic value. That's why we don't have to say too much to people, don't drink coffee, all these things, because naturally, when one gets a feeling for Krishna, then he loses his taste for insignificant things. So you can see, this is actually a practical proof how Krishna consciousness brings us to a better platform. So the next question may be, well, how do I do it? What do I do? Everything begins with this chanting. Chanting the holy names of Krishna is the central activity of Krishna consciousness. Now this chanting is very easy to do, but to do it properly, that also requires application. We can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Or we can just make some kind of noise. Simply making some kind of noise will not help us. So we have to chant with concentration, remembering that this name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. So we ask people in the beginning, please chant one round and then two rounds and eventually increase to 16 rounds. But in the very beginning, you should practice this, how to chant clearly, nicely. That kind of chanting will be very effective. We shouldn't be too anxious, let me increase and then I have to finish my rounds and then just suddenly get it over and finished like that. One consideration is quantity, but the most important consideration is quality. Real chanting means chanting with feeling. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to chant. What is our mood while chanting? Ai nanda tanuja kim karam patitam mam vishame bhavam bho kripaya tava pada pankajas titad dhuli sadrisham vichintam. Oh Krishna, I'm your eternal servitor, but I'm so foolish, rascal, nonsense that I left your lotus feet and have come to this material world. Now please, you again give me the chance to be fixed up in the dust of your lotus feet. So real chanting means chanting with feeling. And feeling means chanting clearly. If we have regard for someone, the least thing we'll do is to pronounce their name properly. So chanting, and there are many activities of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is very kind. He has given us many ways by which we can approach him. Just like, for instance, everybody has to eat. So if we cook everything with love for Krishna and offer it to Krishna and then take that prasad, we become purified, we become Krishna conscious. Another thing, just by looking after the tulsi plant in our homes, offering a little water every day as an act of love for Krishna, then tulsi also blesses us and our love for Krishna increases. studying the books of the Srila Prabhupada. This is most helpful for developing our love of Krishna. So it's a very great subject, and there are many different facets to it. But this point we should fix clearly in our consciousness, that this human life is very short, but it is very valuable. Because this human life is a very good opportunity to understand Krishna. So now we should be very serious how to use this life to develop our love for Krishna. Our aim is to give up this body, concentrating on Krishna, full meditation on Krishna. So that training, we should always be conscious, every moment of our time. We should always be thinking how to bring our attention all the time to Krishna, 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 Krishna. Are there any questions?
The
dharma is everything else except mame kam sharanam raja. Everything else except that.
What are the dharmas?
That, yeah, anything you can imagine and anything you cannot imagine outside of mame kam sharanam raja is to be given up. Whatever else you're doing or thinking of doing, don't do it. Surrender only to Krishna.
She is talking about attachment. How is it, right? How is it possible that we can leave all these attachments in the Kali Yuga? That's a question.
Attachment must be there. But the attachment should be centered on Krishna. Just like you have your family at home. So, make your family Krishna conscious. Whatever situation we're in, make Krishna the center of our lives. That means to transfer the attachment from our own idea of sense enjoyment to how Krishna will be satisfied. As long as we are in this material world, we have certain, apart from the few people who are avadhutas, everyone has some social duty to perform. So that social duty should be discharged in such a way that Krishna will be satisfied. Just like that example I gave, that everyone has to eat. So the mother is she is cooking. So instead of cooking, thinking only how the family will be satisfied, she should cook, thinking how to offer nicely to Krishna, and then give the family members prasadam. Any other question? Why are they saying? Well, when we say they are saying, who is the they? I'll answer the question. It's a rhetorical question. I'll answer it myself.
So you don't want to translate?
No, translate it. What, who are they who are saying? So all great personalities like Bhishma, Prahlad, Parashara, Vyasadeva, they all say. They're examples. Example. And here in Tamil Nadu, Sri Sampradaya is very prominent. So we'll find that in the Divya Prabandhams that Krishna avatar is more stressed also. So the first thing we have to see, who are they who are saying? They are all the great authorities. So the first thing we should know is that whether or not we can understand why, they must be right. Now why, that is analyzed in one book by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was one of the main followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wrote one book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is an analysis of all the different shastras establishing the importance and practice of bhakti. This is a very important book. This has been translated into English as The Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. Is that in Tamil available?
No.
Not yet. Anyway, if you can read in English, this, for those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, this is a very, very important book. So in that book, Rupa Goswami has analyzed how Lord Narayana is superior to all jivas. He has certain qualities that can never be found in any jiva. Actually, of course, Sripad Ramanujacharya has also analyzed these things. All the Vaishnava Acharyas. So there are certain symptoms, just like innumerable universes emanate from his body.
He awards liberation to those he kills. So there are certain qualities which distinguish Narayana from the jivas. But there are certain symptoms of Krishna avatar which even the other forms of Narayana don't have. Actually, Krishna and Narayana, they're the same person, they're not different. It's the same person, but in a different form. Just like we see, even an ordinary person, at different times of the day or different times, he's dressed in a different way and he has different activities. Just like a high court judge, in the court, he wears a wig and he sits very solemnly and everyone says, Your Honor. Your Honor, Maninir. So then he may go to some club. They must in Madras have some clubs where gentlemen go to. So then he dresses in smart but casual clothes like this. And he's with his friends and they're discussing casually. They're not saying Your Honor. And when he's at home, he's sitting in his lungi and his grandchildren are pulling his whiskers. And his wife is calling out, Hey, come on, what are you? You're late for your lunch, come on. So different times, different places, different dress, different moods, the same person. So Narayana is so great that at the same time he has different forms, different leelas to satisfy his different devotees. Just like the famous example we know, Hanuman, he knows that Ram is only Narayana, but he only wants to serve him in this form. There's what is that verse? Srinathe Janakinathe Abheda Paramatmani Tatapi Mamasaravasvam Rama Kamala Locham. He says, I know Srinath, Narayana, and Janakinath, Rama, they're the same Paramatma, Supreme Lord. Still, I want Rama. I want to serve him in this form. There's one story Srila Prabhupada told in this regard. We're going over time?
No, we can go up to 8:15.
Okay. There's one story Prabhupada told in this regard. You must have heard the name of Mr. Daniel Gladstone. He was Prime Minister of England during the height of the British Raj. So one man had an appointment to meet him. So his secretary asked, you please wait outside the office. Just wait here. So he waited a long time. And he was thinking that, oh, he's the Prime Minister of the British Empire. I wonder what important thing he's doing in his office. It must be some very important thing. So after a long time waiting, he thought, I'd just like to look and see. It must be very exciting what he's doing. So he looked in the corridor. The secretary wasn't there. No one was there. He just slowly turned the handle and looked inside the room. He was thinking, maybe he's discussing with his secretary, shall we start a war here? But he saw Mr. Daniel Gladstone was on his hands and knees on the floor. And his grandson was sitting on his back saying, Get up, horse, get up, horse. So the Prime Minister of Britain, if everyone sees him, oh, yes, sir, no, sir, very honorable. But because he has a relationship of love with his grandson, he'll get on the floor and the grandson is whipping him. So like that, Krishna is more attractive because his pastimes, they are more pleasing, more sweet. That is an important word. That's an important word, Madhuram. So Lakshmi Narayana means the same as Radha Krishna, but very formal. Aishwarya Yukta, you can say. Aishwarya, Aishwarya Mai, Aishwarya Yukta. It's like that. It's like the king and queen in the court. Give him 10 bags of gold, cut off his head, like this. Very formal. And Radha Krishna is like the king and queen when they go inside, and the queen says, I don't think you should have done that. No, I should have. Like, it's like that. I'll never speak to you again. I don't care. This is the exchange of love. In Vrindavan, you'll find the cowherd boys, they're fighting with Krishna. And sometimes in the fight, they're defeating Krishna. And as a penalty, Krishna has to carry them on his shoulder. When Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill, the cowherd boys were saying to him, You must be getting tired, Krishna. Why don't you let me carry it? No. Because they thought, he's just our friend. If he can carry it, I can carry it too. Actually, what happened, when the time came to put down the Govardhan Hill, all the cowherd boys, they're all saying, this guy, he thinks he's a big guy, he's holding this hill. We can carry it also. So just when the time came to put it down, Krishna told, okay, all you cowherd boys, you stand over there one corner and you hold it up between you. So Krishna started to put it down, all the cowherd boys. Then Krishna just let go for 1 second and they all fell down on the ground. Krishna picked it up again. He looked at them. Actually, I thought this is a good test. There are so many bogus incarnations of God. So we have no objection to them being incarnations of God. But we just like to put one big mountain on top and they can hold it. And after all, it's Kali Yuga, so even you might think God has decreased in power. So you don't hold for 7 days, you just hold for 7 minutes. And it's a good thing that the modern day incarnations of God are making hospitals, because you're going to need it after that. They can take you to the hospital and make an analysis dead. So anyway, Krishna's pastimes, they're very sweet and pleasing. Therefore, all the acharyas, they give stress to Krishna. And there are so many other incarnations also. Just like Vamandev Leela is also very sweet. All the different Varaha, Nrsimha, Kurma, Matsya, so many avatars of him. So that's also another important point in Krishna consciousness, to understand who is actually an avatar who has been spoken of in Shastra and praised by the acharyas. Just like there are Das Avatar. Actually, there are unlimited, so many avatars, but 10 are very famous. About 1 year ago, it came in one magazine in India that at the present time, there are about 300 people claiming to be incarnations of God. So we should understand who is an actual avatar by the symptoms given in Shastra and recognized by the bona fide acharyas. We should be very careful not to be taken in by people who are not avatars but who are claiming to be. Any other question? Or should we chant Hare Krishna? All right, this question then.
In the mythology, says there is residual karma you are getting birth. And there are two chapels, karma and dharma. We have to walk with both. With one chapel, we cannot walk. If you walk with a bare foot, you are behaving some karma. Once again, you are getting birth. Then it will become an end. Is bhakti alone the solution, or is there any equation that is ever birth?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say, this first statement, Hindu mythology, this terminology is given by the British. Actually, the word Hindu is given by Muslims, and the word mythology is given by the British. Please sit down. Mythology, actually all languages, maybe in Tamil Nadu they don't believe it, but all languages come from Sanskrit. This word mythology comes from the Sanskrit mithya, which means false. The word mythology means something which is not actually true.
Mithya,
so, just like the British taught the Indian people to use the word idol for murti. Idol is a very bad word. Idol means something imaginary. So neither of these words, Hindu mythology, they're very good. But Shastra. So karma is there and dharma is there. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita how to escape from the cycle of birth and death. As you have noted, dharma means punya karma. It's generally understood to mean punya karma. Now, whether you do punya karma or papa karma, there is a result that is called karma phala. So you have to be born to get the result. If you do punya karma, you have to be born, maybe nice situation, to enjoy that. But that nice situation, say if you're born in Swargaloka, still you have to suffer repeated birth and death. Even the result of punya karma, ultimately it's not very good. Because any situation in this world, you have to suffer birth, death, old age, disease. That's why material happiness is like payasam with sand in it. It may taste very nice. So, the result of pious activities, you may get what is called a good birth, but you have to suffer. That is why our acharyas, they have compared punya karma and papa karma to dry stool and wet stool. Just like in the field, in the morning, people are passing stool. We had nice darshan this morning coming on the train. So in the daytime, that stool, the top side becomes dry due to the sun. So if you're walking in the field and you tread in the stool, you may say, well, it's not so bad, it's dry stool. So if you tread in wet stool, it's really horrible. But dry stool is also horrible. So material life is like that. Either very bad or bad, it's all bad. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarvadhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam bhava aham tvam sarvapapebhyo moksha yashami mashucha. Give up, even dharma, when Krishna says here, give up dharma, that particularly means the people are attached to pious activities, punya karma. But even that should be given up, because even that is the cause of suffering. Then Krishna says, Sarva Papi Bhyo Moksha Ishami. I will deliver you from all sins. But you may say that by doing dharma, that is punya, not pap. Krishna says, I will deliver you from all sins. But you may say that punya karma produces punya, not pap. But the punya, even the punya of this material world, is also one kind of pap. If it was completely pure, then it should not produce birth, death, old age and disease. So we can understand that any activity, even if it's an apparently good activity, if it produces rebirth in this material world, then there must be some sinful activity mixed with it. And actually that is a fact. People perform punya karma with the aim of getting some personal enjoyment. By people, punya karma means offering sacrifices, giving in charity, digging wells, planting trees. Now that may be beneficial activities for human society, but people are doing it thinking how I will get enjoyment in future. So that desire, how I will enjoy without surrendering to Krishna, is a sinful desire. Therefore Krishna says, give up all these ideas, surrender to me, I will deliver you from all sinful nature. Why does Krishna say? Because he wants for our benefit. That Krishna says in Gita, before saying this verse, he says, Sarva guhyatamam bhuya shunu me paramam vacha yatte ham priyamana yavakshami hitakamyaya. Krishna says, I'm now going to speak this to you, the most confidential of all knowledge in the Gita. Why? I'm saying this to you for your benefit. And what does he say? Anyway, translate. Why is Krishna going to say? Because he wants to exploit us? No. Because he wants to benefit us. Therefore he says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskru mame vaishyasi satyam pratijane priyosime sarva dhaman dhavityaja mame ekam sarvanyaja aham tam sarva papi bhyo mokshishanam. Therefore he says this. So we should have faith in Krishna. The politicians are asking us to have faith in them. The sellers, the people who are selling soap, they're asking us to have faith in them. All these advertisements, the people are saying, you have faith, we'll give you happiness. It's all cheating. Anything you buy won't give you happiness. Even talking about Hinduism, in what we call Hinduism, there are so many cheaters who are saying, you have faith in me, I will help you. They are not competent to help us. These cheating so-called gurus are compared in Srimad Bhagavatam to a stone boat. If you have to cross the ocean, if you get in a stone boat, what will happen to a stone boat? It will sink. Or even if someone has a little ability, but if they don't have the full ability to help us, that's also useless to take shelter of. That's another example given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That you may see a dog swimming in the river, a little in the canal, just like this swimming. So if you think, I have to cross the ocean, let me throw the dog in the water, I'll hold onto his tail, and this way cross, that is useless, foolishness. Krishna, he can take us across the ocean of material suffering. That is stated very nicely in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nridehama adyam sulabham sudurlabham tlavan sukalpo guru karnam dharam mayanukulena nabhasvitevitam puman bhavabdim nataretsa atmaha. Lord Krishna tells Uddhava that this human form of life is a very good boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. This human form of life is very rarely obtained, but somehow or other we have got this human one. To guide the boat, there are the devotees of Krishna. Guru Karnandharam means who is an expert guide for the captain of the ship. Guru Mayanukulena Nabhasvateritam. And the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they are like the favorable winds which blow the ship in the right direction. So having all these facilities, if still we fail to get out of this cycle of birth and death, then it's just like we're cutting our own throat. Any other question?
Bhakti, you have to do the idol worship.
Which version?
Idol worship. Rupam.
In bhakti, there is no question about rupam. First, we have to understand what bhakti means. Bhakti means to repose our faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It means developing our relationship with God. There is no relationship with arupam. You can't have a relationship with the sky. You can't love the sky or dedicate yourself to the sky. Bhakti means first thing we have to understand that God is the Supreme Person. Person means form. Just please try to understand this point. Bhakti means to devote ourselves to a person. Person means form, feelings, qualities. Shall we chant Hare Krishna? Any more questions?